to you all, and welcome once again to What's Cooking for June. I hope I find you all well and ready to enjoy today's programme, which, as usual, is packed with good things. So, without further ado, what's cooking? Many of us enjoy a good curry, whether we are eating out, ordering in, or making our own. But how much do you know about where curry comes from? The history of curry goes back a long way. In fact, there is evidence of it being used in 1700 BC Mesopotamia. While use of curry probably originated in India, it was used in England as early as the 1300s, and probably even earlier. Mention of its use can be found in the first book written on English cooking, written during the time of Richard II, late 1300s. Curry is used in the cuisine of almost every country, and can be incorporated into a dish or even a drink. The word comes from karai, which is from the Tamil language, and was later anglicised into curry. Curry powder itself is not a single spice, but a blend of different spices, and can be mild or hot. This golden coloured spice is one of the oldest spice mixtures and is most often associated with Indian cuisine. Interestingly enough, the word curry has a different meaning in the Western world than in India. In India, curry refers to a gravy or stew dish. Typically, these dishes contain the Indian spice mix garam masala, along with ginger, chilli, cumin, coriander, turmeric, and sometimes onion and garlic. But it can be made up of many things. In India, different curry ingredients are regional. In the West, when we think of curry, we think of a curry powder or dishes seasoned with it. While we mostly associate curry with hot and spicy peppers, the original Indian curry did not have any peppers in it, since chili peppers or red peppers were not native to India. It wasn't until Christopher Columbus brought chili seeds back from the New World and they were traded to India did they make their way into Indian cooking to become part of the spicy curries we know and love today. Now, how about a common curry powder recipe that can be used as a base upon which to build? For this, you will need 1/8 of a cup turmeric powder, 3 teaspoons whole cardamom seeds, 3 teaspoons whole cumin seeds, 3 teaspoons whole coriander seeds, 1/4 teaspoon cinnamon powder, 1/2 teaspoon cayenne pepper, and
this is what you do.
Lightly toast the cardamom, coriander, and cumin seeds. Then grind them up in a coffee grinder. Now, in a jar, add the remaining spices. Shake until components are thoroughly mixed. Now, apparently, curry has its health benefits. While curry, or curry powder, is actually a mixture of any number of spices, one main spice in most curry powders is turmeric. This is the spice that gives curry its yellow colour and is also responsible, at least in part, for some of the health benefits of curry dishes. Among the health benefits of curry is that of reducing inflammation of the joints. In fact, recent research shows that turmeric helped to prevent the swelling of joints in rats that had arthritis. And it's not only arthritis that it may be helpful for. Other studies suggest that this powerful spice may also help protect us against cancer, heart disease, and even Alzheimer's disease. While more wide-range clinical trials need to be done in order to prove any of the health benefits of curry, that's no excuse not to eat a tasty dish of it a couple of times a week. Although you may need to acquire a taste for it, once you do, you may find yourself reaching for the curry powder more and more often. And I have to say that some of the best curries I have ever eaten have been made from scratch with all the spices, etc. And there's nothing like the smell of those spices being ground and mixed together. Oh, I can smell them now. It is absolutely delicious. Heaven. Now for some recipes. Our first recipe today is for stir-fried turkey vindaloo. And this is a good one to make at Christmas if you have lots of leftover turkey, but can be made at any time. Make the spice mix ahead of time and it's ready in minutes. For this, you will need, for the masala spice mixture, 6 cardamom pods, 1 teaspoon black peppercorns, 4 dried chilies, 6 cloves, 3 star anise, 1/2 a cinnamon stick, 1 teaspoon cumin seeds, 1/2 a teaspoon coriander seeds. For the stir fry, 3 tablespoons vegetable oil, 3 to 4 cloves garlic finely sliced, 5 cm 2 inch piece fresh ginger cut into thin strips, 1 red onion cut into thin strips, 1/2 a teaspoon turmeric powder, 1 teaspoon red chili powder, 2 green chilies chopped, 1 red pepper cut into thin strips, 1 green pepper cut into thin strips, 1 yellow pepper cut into thin strips, 3 tablespoons tomato puree, 1 kilogram cooked turkey meat cut into thin strips, 2 tablespoons malt vinegar, a pinch of sugar, salt, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh coriander to garnish. And
this is what you do.
1. For the spice mixture, dry roast the spices one by one in a heavy based saucepan over a medium heat. Allow the spices to cool and grind all together coarsely in a pestle and mortar. 2. Heat the oil in a separate heavy based frying pan. Add the garlic and cook for a couple of minutes or until golden brown. Add the ginger and onion and stir fry over a high heat for 2 minutes or until the onion is softened. Add the masala spice mixture, turmeric, chili powder and chilies and cook for a further 2 minutes. Then add the peppers and fry over a high heat for another minute. Add the tomato puree and still on a high heat. Stir the mixture so that everything is well combined. 3. Add the turkey to the pan and continue to cook over a high heat for 3 to 4 minutes until the meat is warmed through. 4. Add the vinegar and sugar and season to taste with salt, stirring continuously to mix everything thoroughly together. 5. To serve, spoon the curry into a large serving dish. Garnish with coriander and serve with rice. Next up we have a recipe for the famous Jamaican goat curry. Never mind trying this, I don't know very much about this at all. So enough waffle from me, let's hear from someone who does.
Today I'm doing curry goat, the famous curry goat meat from Jamaica. In this bowl, I've got 3 pounds of goat meat cut in nice cubes, which is done at the West Indian store where I get it. But of late, I've seen it in some of the supermarkets. In the bowl, I've got 3 pounds of goat meat, and I season this up overnight so that it can marinate and absorb all the seasoning. And I've got, I added 2 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 3 to 4 tablespoons of curry powder, 1 large onion slice, and 1 scotch bonnet. The famous scotch bonnet pepper slice, because you got to have curry goat is supposed to be peppery. In the saucepan here, I've got 4 tablespoons of cooking oil heating, and I'm going to add the goat meat. I've removed some of the onion and the scotch bonnet pepper. Some people put the whole thing in. I prefer to put it later with another small medium onion and or some scallion or green onion. So I'm going to add this to the saucepan now with the heated oil. I've added all the goat meat to the saucepan, and I'm going to brown it a little bit. You can call it frying if you want. You just say we are browning it for a bit to seal the juices in. Now I think the meat is brown enough. I'm going to add 2 cups of hot water. Turn the burner down and leave it to simmer. And I'll keep checking occasionally. If that water is absorbed, then I'll add some more until it's halfway through cooking, which I'll check with a fork or I have the curry goat cooking for just under an hour, say 50-55 minutes. So it's ready for the onion and all the other stuff, the onion and the thyme, which you could put in from the beginning. But I've just now put it in a good size sprig of thyme. And I'm putting all of that in. I put the onions in, and it's got the scotch bonnet pepper and the thyme. I'm going to add another 2 cups of hot water, and that should take it to the end. When this start boiling, I'm going to put the potatoes in. We need 3 medium-sized potatoes, not the large ones, 3 medium-sized potatoes. Cutting each one probably, cutting 3 because you don't want it mushed out in it. At this point, I'm removing the scotch bonnet pepper because it's hot enough, peppery enough for me. And I'm going to add another tablespoon of curry powder. Curry powder varies so much in quality and taste. So depending on what you're using, you use it to taste. I started with 4 tablespoons of curry powder when I did leave the meat to marinate. But I think I need some more, so I'm going to add another one at this point, making it 5. So I guess it's anywhere between 5 and 6, depending on the curry powder. Okay? Now I'm adding the potatoes at this point. My mandatory 1 tablespoon of tomato ketchup. There we go. I'm going to leave it to simmer on minimum until the meat is really tender and falling off the bones. Minimum. And how long that will take? Probably another 30 minutes. Okay. Voila. I think it looks delicious. All ready for plating up or dishing up. And all ready for eating. I've got my rice ready already and my salad. And if it isn't for your sweetness, and if it isn't for your niceness, and how about sugar dumpling? Then I guess they didn't tell you nothing, no. And if it isn't for your sweetness, and if they didn't call you niceness,
Next, a recipe for slow cooker beef curry. Use your slow cooker for this simple beef curry. It's full of flavour and guarantees meltingly tender beef. Serve with rice and naan bread. And for this recipe, you will need 4 tablespoons sunflower oil, 800 grams, 1 pound, 12 ounces, beef braising steak cut into 2.5 cm or 1 inch pieces, 2 onions finely chopped, 4 garlic cloves finely chopped, 2 chilies finely chopped, plus extra to taste, 2.5 cm 1 inch piece fresh root ginger, 4 teaspoons ground cumin, 4 teaspoons ground coriander, 2 teaspoons ground turmeric, 2 times 400 gram, that's 14 ounces, can chopped tomatoes, 2 teaspoons garam masala, 200 grams, 7 ounces, natural yogurt, a small handful of fresh chopped coriander. And
this is what you do.
1. Heat half of the oil in a frying pan and fry the beef pieces for 4 to 5 minutes or until browned all over. You may need to brown the meat in batches. Tip the browned meat into the slow cooker. 2. Heat the remaining oil in a frying pan and fry the onions for 5 minutes. Then add the garlic, chili and ginger and fry for another 2 to 3 minutes. Add the spices and fry for another minute. Then tip the mixture into the slow cooker. 3. Add the chopped tomatoes to the slow cooker. Then fill one of the empty cans with water and add the water to the slow cooker. 4. Stir everything together, pressing down so that everything is covered in liquid, and cook for 8 to 10 hours on low. 5. About 30 minutes before serving, stir in the garam masala and yogurt. Season to taste with salt and a little more chili. Cook for a further 30 minutes, then stir in the coriander. If you don't have a slow cooker, alternatively, you can cook this curry on the hob for 2 to 3 hours on a low heat or until the beef is very tender. Now, as I'm sure you will have noticed, many, if not all of our recipes today have included chili. And a little while ago, I came across a rather interesting article about chilies, and I thought you might like to hear it too, so here it is.
Let's warm things up now with something a bit chilly. Chilli peppers, to be specific. Did you know there's a pick-your-own chilli farm in Bedfordshire where fans of the spicy plant, my hand goes up there, yes, can indulge themselves in over 90 varieties.
Shall we grab a bag? One for you, Ella.
Right, ready?
Yeah. Which ones are you going to pick today?
I'm just going down a growing tunnel filled with chilli plants with the Barden family. Now, Alison, you're here with your 2 children. Is this something that you do regularly?
Yes, we've been down here a few times during the summer to pick some chillies, some peppers, and they've really enjoyed picking the vegetables. So we've been growing some at home, so the children realise that they start off green, and then when they're red, they're ready to pick.
And what about you? I mean, do you know which ones you're buying in terms of what they're going to taste like?
No, we do use some guidance because some very hot ones, so we try to stick to the mild ones.
This is actually the UK's first pick-your-own chilli farm. It's also a nursery that grows vegetables and fruits and various other things. But I'm with the owner, Joanna Plum. We're right here on the Cambridgeshire-Bedfordshire border, and you've got a whole series of growing tunnels here, Joanna. Where did the idea of picking your own come from regarding chilies?
Last year we had an experimental greenhouse and would take some of our customers in there just to show them the new plants that we were thinking about putting into production the next year. We just wanted to see what the customers thought of these. And so I just thought, well, why not expand on that idea? So now we've got a whole polytunnel dedicated to chilies. I truly believe that the fresher an ingredient is, the better flavour it's going to have.
And what tells you that the time is right now for chilies?
We've been doing this since 2001, and when I first started, people would just ask for green chilies or red chilies, and now people are becoming more savvy and they're asking for like Scotch bonnets and jalapenos. They're actually asking for chilies by name.
Pretty much all types of chilli will grow happily in this country. We grow them in the ground in polytunnels rather than in pots or hydroponics. And there are a number of different species and they are different flavours. Some of them are fruity, some of them are lemony, some of them are herby. Some of them are much better in desserts and sweet things.
Jason Nichols is co-owner of the South Devon Chilli Farm at Loddiswell, which was set up 7 years ago. They grow around 10,000 chilli plants annually and harvest tons of fresh chillies, some of which go into their own chilli jams and sauces. While some of us may go for the subtle lemony notes, for most of us, it all boils down to one not-so-subtle characteristic.
The hottest chilies at the moment, the sort of current claimants to the world records, are boot jalokias and naga jalokias, they're called. They're related to Scotch bonnets and habaneros, and they originate from northern India. And they are over 1 million Scoville units.
Now, you just said Scoville unit. What is that a measure of?
Scoville units are a measure of the heat level of a chilli. Originally, it was invented by a chap called Wilbur Scoville, and traditionally, it was a dilution test. So when we talk about something measuring, let's say, 100,000 units, that was a chilli that was diluted in water 100,000 times, and at that point, you could still taste the heat.
But how does this translate into actually using chilies at home? Having won MasterChef in 2005, Thomasina Myers launched Oaxaca Restaurants. The third one is set to open shortly in London's Canary Wharf, the idea being to bring authentic Mexican street food to Britain.
Chilies are hot. That's an obvious statement, but it's always important to wash your hands when you're cooking with chilies, because the number of times that people rub their eyes or go to the loo and they get themselves into terrible, terrible problems. So wash your hands thoroughly the moment you stop handling chilies. That is my first one. Also, it's very important to remember that the heat is kept close to the stem and to the seeds, so that's where the real heat is. So if you don't really like hot food, but you want the flavour of the chilies, cut out the stem and the seeds, and then you get something with flavour with less of the heat.
For anybody that's feeling intrigued by the idea of chili, but nervous, what's the first port of call?
The thing I always do when I first kind of break open the chili is that, there we are, we've got that open. And I just touch the tip of the chilli to my tongue, because that's where the heat is least.
What are you doing? You're just putting the end...
I'm just touching.
On your tongue.
A tip on my tongue, and I can immediately taste the flavour of the chilli, that lovely, bright, kind of fruity flavour.
There's heat.
Instant heat. So that tells me that this chilli is quite hot.
And I can feel it in my throat.
Now you can feel it.
Slight, well, I wouldn't say slight, I'd say a burning sensation.
This is quite a hot one, isn't it?
It is quite hot. Yes.
Basically, this gives me a kind of idea of the heat scales, because you wouldn't be able to do that with a Scotch bonnet. It would blow your head off.
And with that, we both had a glass of, well, milk, which I'm assured is the best way to get rid of any burning sensation in the mouth. But blowing heads off, in the chilli context at least, seems like a thrill that more and more of us want. I asked Joanna Plum who she reckoned were the types that went for chilies.
There's two distinct types of clients that come here. One is the chilli heads, so they're fanatical about chilies and they love all the different varieties that we have. And the other is the foodie person who comes for the fresh produce, so they come for the fresh chilies and also the vegetables as well. And they are two distinct segments of the market.
What does a chilli head look like?
Generally male, in his 30s, 40s. They do buy the sauces, but they definitely want the fresh chilies as well, because then they are going to cook with them.
They also stock over 40 different varieties. a far cry from Sainsbury's.
We stock three major types, a green and red chilli, which is a Fresno or jalapeno type, that's relatively cool chilli. Then in the middle, for Thai cuisine, we stock finger chilies and bird eye chilies, and then Scotch bonnet, which is the really hot one in our range, which is largely used in Caribbean food.
Do you see a situation where you'll expand the range and the number of varieties?
What we have seen is a demand for hotter and hotter food across the supermarket. So, for example, a great example of that would be we are stocking a new ready meal, chicken vindaloo, which we've developed specifically because customers told us that they were using fresh chilies in their curries in order to make them hotter than we make them already.
Whilst we still want eye-watering vindaloos, some market analysts reckon that the key future trend will be the growth of Mexican food in Britain, a cuisine that for years was overshadowed by its American counterpart, Tex-Mex, and one that's viewed now as having a lot of potential growth. Back in Oaxaca restaurant, Thomasina Myers highlighted part of its enduring appeal.
What I especially love about Mexican food is their technique of layering simple flavours together to get an incredibly delicious plate of food at the end. One prime example is a guacamole, where you get the lovely, fresh, fiery flavour of jalapeno. You get the creamy, smooth flavour of avocado, this bright, bright citrus of lime, that kind of tangy flavour of onion. And all together, the complete kind of bundle with that kind of freshness, herby flavour of coriander makes this incredible dish. It's essentially that. It's simple flavours layered up to make a really, really incredible plate of food. And chilies add a lot of that depth of flavour, but also that brightness, that fire that kind of tingles and stays with you after you've eaten the food.
If you were listening last month, you may remember that I mentioned safety in the kitchen and that I was planning a programme or perhaps a series of programmes on this subject. And I have my own ideas about kitchen safety and so on, but I would like to hear from you, the listeners. Firstly, what would you like to hear in these programmes? What scares you about being in the kitchen? Is it the stove? Is it chopping vegetables, etc.? What do you not like about being in the kitchen? And secondly, if you also have any safety hints and tips that you have found very helpful and that you would like to share with other listeners, do get in touch. I'm probably going to start these programmes in the autumn because that's when most of us start to feel like cooking again after a nice hot summer, hopefully. So I'm probably going to start these in the autumn, so you'll have plenty of time. If you want to get in touch and give me some of your hints and tips, or let me know what you would like to hear in these programmes, I'd be very pleased to hear from you. And you can do so in the following way, by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's C-O-O-K-I-N @theglobalvoice.info. And that is the email address to use for anything you would like to talk to us about, whether you have favourite recipes you'd like to share with other listeners, cooking experiences, whether you want to record a recipe and send it to us and we will play it on the programme, any ideas you may have for future shows, just send to cooking@theglobalvoice.info. Again, that's cookin@theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this programme again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, where you can find archives of all What's Cooking shows. You can also visit incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. Well, I'm afraid time has run out on us again, and I hope you've enjoyed the show today as much as I have. I'm going to go away now and have a good hot curry. Until I'm with you next time, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking!